This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From neutral to NATO, we hear from Finland's president as his country prepares to join the military alliance. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Crucial talks about NATO's future strategy are underway today in the Spanish capital, Madrid. Within the last 90 minutes, President Biden announced the U.S. will expand its military presence on land, air, and sea across Europe in response to Russia's Ukraine invasion. And NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Russia's war is leading to the biggest overhaul of the alliance since the end of the Cold War. He warned President Putin that by attacking Ukraine, he had achieved the opposite of what he wanted, an expanded NATO. That's because Sweden and Finland are on the path to joining after Turkey dropped its opposition to their membership last night. Each member state is obligated to spend 2% of its annual economic output on defense, which means this move would add money to the overall spending pot. The BBC's Katja Adler spoke to Finland's president Sauli Niinistö, who explained what such a move means for his country, which shares a long border with Russia.
I decided to inform Putin that I have now decided to become a NATO member. His reply was that it's a mistake, but he doesn't consider it's a threat to Russia. Undoubtedly, the long border line means that we have to have some means in daily life to handle administrative issues. The Gulf of Finland is very narrow, a lot of oil tankers, and there's a security system run together by Finland, Estonia, and Russia. Such things we have to continue, surely.
That's President Niinistö of Finland there. Checking the numbers now, following a bruising session on Wall Street yesterday, stocks across Asia and Europe are down in the 0.5% to 2% range today as investors grapple with souring economic data globally. Fresh figures show consumer confidence continued to weaken this month across the Eurozone as annual inflation in Spain surged to a 37-year high. That's fanning investor concern about whether a looming ECB interest rate rise next month will cool inflation or trigger a recession. A new bee parasite is threatening to wipe $50 million a year off Australia's honey industry. It's the biggest in the world. The parasite was found in the southeastern state of New South Wales, where hives are now under lockdown. The BBC's Shaima Khalil has more from Sydney.
The parasite, known as the Varroa destructor, was first found at a port near Sydney last week, but has since been spotted in hives more than 60 miles away. Australia was the only continent free of the Varroa mites, which are the biggest threat to bees worldwide. The outbreak threatens to cost the honey and food production industries millions of dollars. The authorities have introduced several biosecurity measures to limit the outbreak, after the mites were detected at 7 sites across New South Wales. Keepers inside a biosecurity zone will not be able to move hives, bees, or honeycombs until further notice. The pests, which are about the size of a sesame seed, weaken and kill colonies by feasting on them and transmitting viruses. A lockdown banning the movement of bees across the state is also being enforced. About a third of Australia's food production relies on bee pollination, including almonds, apples, and avocados.
That's the BBC's Shaima Khalil reporting from Sydney there. Russia's war in Ukraine is wreaking havoc on global energy prices as it squeezes oil supply. It's forced many European countries to turn back to coal in order just to keep the lights on. That is benefiting South African producers, which are battling to keep up with the increase in demand, as the BBC's Vumani Mkhazi reports.
The Khanye coal mine, located 80 kilometers from Johannesburg, produces over 200,000 tons of raw coal a month. All of it is destined for export. Coal prices hit a record of over $400 per ton this year. While the price has subsided, demand is still high as the war in Ukraine has no end in sight.
At the COP26 climate change conference in Glasgow, Commitments were made to phase out coal globally, but the war in Ukraine has upended that. South African coal miners, such as this one, are benefiting from the significant rise in orders from European countries, eager to plug the gap left behind by Russia.
Kenyan Coal runs 4 mines across the country, and like all South African producers, are benefiting from the boom, and at times struggling to keep up with demand. Vuslat Bayoglu is the managing director of the company.
As of August 10, there will be no Russian coal going to Europe. So that means that Europe needs to get coal from somewhere, and then they mainly come to South Africa and go to Colombia to buy the coal.
For independent markets analyst Jimmy Moyaha, the commodities boom has significantly cushioned the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the South African economy, resulting in a $12 billion boost to tax revenues this year.
We've seen a resurgence in sort of a commodity super cycle, but also fueling this, you can't discount the fact that the Russia-Ukraine tensions are weighing in heavily on market sentiment.
While the resurgence of coal has been good for the coal miners and exports, environmentalist Tracy Davies is worried coal's bounce back will hamper the global climate change initiative.
All of us should be looking to slow down coal production and slow down coal-fired power generation. The problem with the high prices we're seeing at the moment is that it creates an incentive to ramp up coal production and possibly even to build more coal-fired power, which would be a real tragedy from a climate perspective.
With Germany's decision to restart its coal-fired power plants, it seems South African coal producers and others around the world will have their hands full trying to keep up with demand. In Johannesburg, South Africa, I'm the BBC's Vumani Mkize for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.